Hello, everyone, and welcome back for another episode of Dirty Talk. Today, we have three very special guests with us, and we're going to be talking about just like race and culture and how that kind of affects sex and sexuality and like people's views on sex and sexuality. So today, it's just me, Arna, as the main host. Vivian and Sophia are not here with us since they're both on vacation, but we have some very special guests. I have Yosan and Noor, who are also part of the Planned Parenthood Teen Council, and I have another guest, Shana, who, and they will all just introduce themselves in a second. Shana, do you want to go first?
Sure, yeah, no problem. So hi everyone, I'm Shana Abraham. I use she, her pronouns, and I am the author of Rise, How Empowering Women Elevates Us All, which is a book I published last year in 2020, I believe. Yeah, 2020, I can't believe that was like almost a year and a half ago. And it's all about like women's empowerment and social impact and creating like the next generation of change makers. And I also run a platform on IG called Rise Women that attests to the work in that book. And I work in the nonprofit sector and I'm 22 years old.
Thank you so much. Noor, what about you?
Okay, I'm Noor Wasim. I use she, her pronouns. Honestly, any pronouns, be funky with it. I just started college online, which is awesome. I'm getting my booster shot in 2 days, so nervous about that. And yeah, there's not really much to it. I miss talking about sex education, and I deeply miss Teen Council, but I hope that this is a step forward to me starting new stuff in the future, and excited to be here.
Yeah, definitely. Yosan, what about you?
Hi, everyone. My name is Yosan. Use she, her pronouns. I'm a college student, and I have a particular interest in sexual liberation, especially that for women and that for people of color. So, yeah.
Okay, so today is going to be probably more unscripted than usual, so we're just going to kind of talk about some of our personal experiences and how our own, like, race and cultural identities have impacted how we look at sexual and sexuality. And so I'm just going to start off. So I lived in India for the, like, first 14 years of my life, and I'm Indian, and my parents are immigrants, so I'm brown, and I'm also immigrant. And, like, I had, like, zero sex education when I grew up in India. Like, my sex education was really, like, when I came, so I moved to the U.S. halfway through my freshman year of high school, and that's the only time I really started learning about, like, sex in, like, a educational way or in an academic way. And Planned Parenthood was definitely one of, like, the main things that helped me learn about that. I mean, like, in India, I guess, like, the internet and stuff was, like, the main media that, like, helped me learn about sex, because I definitely knew what it was. But, you know, even my family, I've never had the talk with my mom. Like, it's just not something we've had. I don't even know, like, what her values are surrounding when I can be, like, sexually active. It's just something that we don't super talk about. And so in my family, it's kind of like a don't tell, don't know kind of policy, I guess. And so, yeah, so it's still, I mean, my parents know that I, like, do sex ed advocacy. They know I run this podcast and stuff, but I tell them not to listen to this because it's just, like, I feel like a lot of implications. So, and yeah, but anyways, that's kind of, like, my background. So I didn't have, like, sex ed for, like, the first 14 years of my life. Like, sex ed just, like, kind of doesn't exist in India. Like, they teach you about, like, biology, mm-hmm. and so you'll learn about, like, organs and stuff, but I never learned about consent. I never learned about healthy relationships. God forbid I learn about, like, sexuality from, like, an LGBTQ perspective. Mm-hmm. So it was just kind of stuff I learned by myself from, like, social media and internet. And even now, like, in my family, like, my family's pretty liberal as far as, like, immigrant brown families go, mm-hmm. but I'm definitely, like, not gonna tell my mom, like, oh, I'm, like, sexually active, or, oh, like, I'm talking to this guy. Like, that's just not something I share with my mom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, something that I could relate to a lot is, like, having an immigrant dad, and also just, like, in general, having immigrant parents, like, trying to teach them what they can and cannot do or, like, say, or, like, you know, like, they're curious about it, but it's also, like, why are you asking me these questions right now? But, yeah, I agree. I have to relate with, like, the don't ask, don't tell, because when I first started Teen Council, they knew about it, but then like, they would say, like, side chats of it or, like, make jokes about it. And I'm just like, why are you doing that? Like, you know, whatnot. And, yeah, like, with sex education, I feel like, in general, with, like, families, it's more of, like, a... Well, for me, it was, like, I was more curious, like, with online. Like, I grew up on YouTube and all that stuff, and I was, like... Why do I want to search up girls kissing girls right now? Like why am I here? Like, what is this tingly feeling going on in my, like, you know? Like, I was in elementary school, and I was just so curious. And I guess just growing up and being independent on yourself, especially with your body, and also just being that one brown person in class, it's just, like, am I the only one feeling this way? Like, I wonder if those, like the other people in class are, like, you know, I thought it was, like, has to do with me and my skin color, and, like, just also just, like, the representation is, like, not always there. So, yeah, I was just a lot of curiosity when I was a kid, and there still is a lot of curiosity, but it's a lot less than, you know, than I was going with when I was a kid and everything like that.
Right. No, I mean, that's fair. I mean, I can definitely relate. I grew up, my parents are both immigrants, but I was born and raised in the U.S. But we belong to a pretty conservative Indian Christian community. And so the expectation is that, you know, you wait to have sex until marriage, but, like, there's mm-hmm. just, like, no conversations at all about it, right? Like, mm-hmm. the same idea of, like, my parents never had to talk with me. They signed, like, a form in, like, fifth grade for us to do, like, a class, like, you know, sexual education, and I'm pretty sure they closed their eyes when they signed it. Like, they have, like, no idea, and, like, we have it in the school, but obviously didn't really talk about consent that much. It wasn't definitely not pleasure-centered. It definitely was very much so, like, biology-focused, and so I feel like what's so interesting is, you know, like, our parents are, like, you know, in Indian culture and, like, Bollywood even, like, take that for example, like, women are sexualized all the time, but it's, like, there's so much shame and, like, stigma and neglect that it leaves, like, all those young kids who are curious, and, like, they're gonna find out and get curious eventually, right? Like, you mm-hmm. can't just, like, assume you, if you say don't look at boys, don't look at girls, and just focus on your studies, and then one day, bam, like, get them married, like, they're not just gonna, like, all of a sudden be open to, like, knowing what sex and sexuality is, right?
Yeah.
So definitely. It's so strange to me because I feel like it's, you know, they assume that you're just not doing anything if you're not they don't actively see you, like, engaging in your sexuality or, like, hear you talk about it. But there's, like, what, like, millions of young South Asian people and that are trying to figure it out on their own, and they're forced to look at media or, like, learn from their friends, and there's, like, a lot of, you know, confusion and just, like, lack of questions. And it also just offers so much potential for harm to come that way too, right? Because, like, the shame that comes from consensual, like, sex and sexuality, like, think about, like, non-consensual sex and sexuality or non-consensual sex, that's just rape, to be honest, and sexual assault. So I feel like it's just so strange to me that, you know, they just assume that, you know, those archaic kind of values that really put especially women down and made us, like, force people who identify as women to just be, like, really ashamed of their sexuality. Mm-hmm. They just assume it's going to continue, especially as, like, the world is modernizing.
Yeah, I definitely, like, agree with that, because growing up, there's definitely a divide with my family of, like, me trying to figure out, like, my sexuality or just, like, sex in general, because it's, like, when you're not taught about these things, you're gonna go off and do it yourself, like, just how you mentioned. Same with, like, drugs and alcohol. Like, when they tell you not to do something, you're gonna be curious and do it and stuff like that. And, like, I feel like that also leads to a lot of schools or just areas don't talk about consent or, like, the risks of STIs. It creates more, you know, like, problems with STIs and just the whole abortion thing. It's like taking away the thing that, like, people need is gonna just cause people to do it, like, illegally or, like, you know, like, in a really bad way. But it's just like when it's not talked about, like, you're doing it secretively, and it just causes more harm than good.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It definitely feels really strange to, like, be like, you know what, we're almost in 2022, and, like, the fact that I still feel like in some ways, like, the culture that has persisted is still so, like, backwards. Like, you know, like, I feel like it's kind of like you want people to be like, okay, get with the program. Like, we can't just, like, close your eyes to things you don't want to see. Like, these things are happening. They've been happening. Like, we need to start changing things around.
Yeah, it's like people are still stuck in like the ages of like where like it wasn't good, you know, like a lot of the time parents are just like older people will use like the tactic of, well, they didn't have this around my time, or like this was bad around my time, but it's like, we're not in your time anymore, we're in a different time, like you can't do that, you can't say that, like at least right. like develop with it, don't just have like the idea that just because it was you grew up a certain way doesn't mean like you could change that, like how you view it now.
Definitely. Yeah. Yosan, what about you, what thoughts are you having?
Well, I'm an immigrant, but I was raised in the U.S. but I'm from East Africa, and so I feel like that identity kind of compounds when it relates to sexual health, because I have like the like similar like shameful like feelings of like shame around like my immigrant identity, specifically because my country that I'm from is super religious, and so like the whole culture of the country is very pious, as in like there's no sexualizing in the media, there's no like it's not normal anywhere, like to like the way in the way that people dress and the way everything is, the whole country is kind of very pious, so there's already like a drive to not talk about sex at all, including like even like husbands and wives, like there's not really affection shown typically, there's not like outwardly, like it's not really a public thing ever, and then on top of that I have like just being like a black woman, then there's like the opposite kind of force where I feel like you get sexualized so young and so and all the time, and just constantly being aware of your like of your sexuality when like you sometimes don't want to be, like I remember mm-hmm. trying to like wanting to be seen as like a girl or like a woman as I was growing older, and then suddenly like wanting to be like seen as like, even to this day sometimes I'm like want to be seen as like kind of like innocent and doe-eyed, like mm-hmm. as because I can feel like there's like from a young age there have been other people like kind of forcing a sexuality on me, and
right.
it's almost like, I mean, I feel like all women can relate, like sometimes mm-hmm. you're like I don't want to buy in to like being sexualized, but mm-hmm. then you're also like I deserve the freedom to like do whatever I want with my body, so right. you're kind of in this limbo
right.
yeah.
in between the two.
Definitely.
But yeah. Yeah, I remember when I was younger, I don't know if anybody read the book
Just for Girls.
No.
Period.
No,
books.
Actually, I was thinking.
Oh my god! That unlocked a core like, memory. Oh my god!
One book I read was by Wendy Mass, and this girl had a crush on her best friend, and there's this one scene they're at the beach together, and they kiss, and I think I was in like fourth grade, maybe reading this, like 10 years old,
mm-hmm.
and I felt so guilty about reading it.
I
went into my closet. I threw away like all the books I own, like all my Harry Potter books I threw away, because I was like, my mom was right, this was the pipeline, like
Harry Potter is the pipeline.
Yes. I was like, she was right, I should never own that. I threw away that book. I like pray to God that he would forgive me for reading the book and enjoying the book, and yeah. I was like, I like will never be saved now. God. Like I was really,
I was really
like, oh my god, like, and that's the type of shit that like even now. Or stuff that even now, like you think and you're like, wow, like there's no reason for a 10-year-old to feel ashamed like that of like there's no reason, and those feelings of shame, like even when you know you shouldn't feel like it as you grow older, they're mm-hmm. still like, it's not something always you can control, kind of like you can't control a lot of things
yeah
that makes you feel. So it's just interesting how like the sexual oppression is so set on making you feel ashamed mm-hmm. of what's natural to you, and mm-hmm. I think like the reason why I care so much about sexual liberation is because like sex, no matter what we think of it or whatever your personal relationship to it is very intimate,
right?
So because it's so intimate, it's the most violating when mm-hmm. it's taken advantage of, but it's the most powerful and liberating when it's
consensual,
when it's consensual, or when it's healthy, or when it makes you feel good.
Yeah,
right.
So
definitely.
I think it has a lot of power to do both, and I think that's why mm-hmm. it should be more of a main topic.
Yeah,
and it's like not talked about a lot because in like the in like the curious area of like sex and stuff like that, a lot of people go to like porn and mm-hmm. stuff like that to see it, because like sex is talked about, but like the only like stuff that I would see was like on TV, you know? My parents, like, right. It's not talked about a lot, so like I just got it off the media and everything like that. So like once you open the chapter of like porn and everything like that, you're like, your entire life changes, because it's like, one, I don't look like these girls. Two, I don't look like skin color, shape, body. Like, I have hair. Like, I just don't look like these girls. And mm-hmm. also just, like, when you continue the rabbit hole of, like, porn and everything like that, you just like the idea of it. And then once you actually, like, are vulnerable with someone and it doesn't match the what you created in your head of it, it's like, there's something wrong with me, like why do I not like this, like it seems like this person enjoyed it online, or like what they talk about, like they liked it more. So it's like a lot of the time, like media and just the way that like we are shamed for even like thinking about wanting to have sex or just like with ourselves, it creates like so much, like I don't even know.
No,
it's just like a deep hole of like, is it me, is it them, like what is this? But also another thing that like plays into it is like the shame of like masturbating and stuff like that, because it's like a lot of the time people don't know what they want, and I think that like the first thing they need to do, well personally, is like to masturbate, because it's like
100% agree,
because it's like, how are you gonna want someone to do, you know, like do stuff with you or like together when you like haven't done it yourself, you know? It's like you have to like try to be comfortable with yourself first, and in order for someone else to be comfortable with you, you know? It's like the same concept of, you can't, like, how are you gonna have someone love you when you don't love yourself?
Yeah,
you know? So like I think just like it's mostly shame towards women. When women masturbate, it's a lot of like internalized misogyny when it comes to like, or like when women react in a way of like, do you masturbate? And they're like, ew, no, like, I would never do that. Like, mm-hmm. I could never, sorry, like, someone's, like, trying to park. Like, it's a tiny Fiat. like, trying to park.
They're gonna crash into
us. Okay. Anyway, so it's, like, when boys are just, like, men, it's, like, it's like normal for them, you know, like to talk about masturbating and stuff. It's like, yeah, I masturbate like 50 times a day, you know, like whatever. But like when a girl like talks about it, it's like, oh my god, like why would you do that? It's just like, yeah, there's just so much to it, and it just stresses me out. But yeah, you guys could like add on to it.
Yeah,
while I stress about this car parking in front of us.
I definitely agree with what Noor is saying, and to all our listeners out there, we did an episode on masturbation. We haven't released it yet, it's not out yet, but we did record it, so that is one of our episodes that will be out soon, and we kind of elaborate more on the shame of masturbating, especially like the shame surrounding female masturbation in that mm-hmm. episode. And in that episode I also mentioned that it's just like, you know, like it's kind of like what Yosan said about reading that book. I remember like when I was like younger, when I was living in India, like this one time I masturbated and I felt so guilty mm-hmm. that like being an Indian, I had like this kind of like temple area in my house with like idols of gods. I went there and I like apologized. Like, oh, I asked for forgiveness because I was like, I can't believe I've done this.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that kind of relates to like my whole culture, like, you know, and my religion and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like interesting how there's just so much shame around that.
Right.
And while we've been talking, I was also thinking like, you know, I'm very lucky to have one of those families that is fairly liberal. Like, you know, like, my parents know I have a sex ed podcast. My parents mm-hmm. know I work with Planned Parenthood. They know I want to do this and that. They're, like, open, like, they're, like, accepting of LGBTQ identities. But still, the idea of talking to them about me having sex for pleasure horrifies me. Like, if I tell my mom that I want to engage in hookup culture, I cannot imagine how that conversation would go. Yeah. Like, right. I feel like that's just horrifying, because I feel like definitely, like, in Indian culture, it's like, oh well, if you're dating someone, sure, it's like an obligation to have mm-hmm. sex, so I guess you're having sex. Right. Or if it's like, even if you're like in a marriage, like have sex. But like, I feel like for Indian women, having sex for fun is just like not a thing they're told is okay to do.
Yeah, most definitely. And like that, and also like growing up and being told, like the only thing that I was told, I was like, don't have a boyfriend, like you can't have a boyfriend, like,
oh yeah,
if, like, you have a boyfriend to marry, you know, Like,
mm-hmm. There's an age to have a boyfriend.
Yeah, literally. So, like, also another thing that, like, played it is my two older sisters, we have different dads. So, like, their dad, like, we have different dads, period. So, like, my dad's the one who's an immigrant. So, like, they were the rebellious type, you know? So, like, me in, like, the age of, like, growing up and, like, seeing, like, having the, you know, like, them, I was like, I want to do that, like, what they're doing. Like, I don't want to continue to be, like, this Muslim girl and, like, stuff like that. So, it's, like, having the idea of, period, not having a boyfriend, but then also, like, I never knew that people have sex for pleasure, you know? Or, like, people, like, can do that. And also, like, what you were saying, Arna, of, like, oh my gosh, sorry, like, so many people are just trying to park right here. Oh, okay. Okay, thank God, there's, like, a car moving. But it's, like, I think, like, another thing, I think in general, talking about sex with your family, or, like, not, like, your entire family, like, Thanksgiving dinner, but it's, like, you know, the conversation of, like, sex, like, it definitely, oh my gosh.
That is way too close. Sorry, we're like in recording from a car, and there's like people trying to like park here, and I don't understand what's happening.
Wait, they're so close. Wait, what the fuck?
Okay, that girl's about to leave though.
Okay.
Sorry,
there's so much is going on right now. But I think yeah, just in general, talking about sex with your family is just like, you know, it definitely is. But then there's also like your parents think that they could talk to you about anything because you're older, you know? It's like, why'd you bring that up right now? Like, just because like I'm an adult doesn't mean you could talk about, like, you know, it's just really weird.
Yeah, I feel like just like anything related to sex and sexuality, like even like I am 18 years old. I literally teach sex ed in high school classrooms. My parents know this. I run a podcast on sex and sexuality. But if we're watching a movie and I'm sitting with them and there's a sex scene, they will fast forward on my account.
All the time. All the time.
And I'm like, it's like, so that just like is one of the things that makes me feel like I could never tell them that, like, Oh yeah, I'm having sex. Because they won't even let me watch.
Yeah, it's like if they're uncomfortable. Especially like if my dad usually watches like Bollywood or like whatever, and there is like, they never really have sex scenes in those, but it's like in general, if there's like the leading up to it, he'll skip it. And I'm like, the tension is there, but it's also like, I'm not like 5 years old, you know? So like, he's also uncomfortable with it, but it's like, you can't mention it to them about like your own life because that like is a whole nother like overthinkingness of your brain of like, how is this gonna go? And just, it's so much.
It's stressful, definitely.
I do have to say though that I don't necessarily think those boundaries are a bad thing. Like, I feel like if a parent was like uncomfortable like talking about like sex with their child or like with their child having sex, that would be like a valid concern. But it's
more right about, for sure,
like, it's more about like the attitudes you have towards it, as in like, I feel like in what you guys described, like sex for women is pleasure and stuff like that, the real problem there is that like sex is seen as something that's forced upon women. Like, that's the only time it's okay. And and because of that, like, even when like a woman has multiple partners by her own choice versus when like it's not, or like when it's her own choice, it's shamed. When a woman engages in sex culture in a way like a lot of men do, like like hopping around, like it's not seen as empowering anymore, it's seen as gross, it's seen as this. So it's really only celebrated when it's expected or forced, like when she should have kids, when she got married, whatever.
Right.
And I think that attitude is what hurts daughters when their dad reacts to them with that way, or when their mom is shaming her daughter once she finds out, or like something like that. But I feel it doesn't have to be like a, like, it doesn't, like, every parent does not have to be in the same, does not have to have the same way of interacting with sex, with their kids.
Yeah.
I know, like, I used to be like jealous of how like white kids' parents like interact with them, like they could tell them everything, but honestly, I don't really want or need that relationship with my parents in that way. I feel like I feel like it's just a relationship of respect is what's required.
Yeah.
And one of understanding, empathy, just like any like parent or child relationship should be. But yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that. And also, like, people need to mind their own business. Cause,
yeah,
like,
oh my god, yeah.
Like, and also, like, when, you know, Sonia, you're, like, bringing up about how, like, it's expected for women to, like, do these sort of things, like, that came up with, like, celebrity women, or just, like, when they're seen as attractive, we expect them to be, like, a whore, or, like, do this, or, like, sleep with whoever. But, like, when we see, like, hot guys, or, like, I don't know, like, Brad Pitt, like, first person that came into my head, it's, like, oh, yeah, he's hot, like, I don't blame him, like, you know, he could pull, like, you know, it's just, like, the sexism of it, and just, like, the concept of it, it's, like, that's also plays a big role, because it's, like, if it's so expected, and then when I do it, why are you so surprised, you know?
Yeah. I definitely want to say I agree with you, son. I do not want to talk to my parents about sex. Like, that sounds horrifying.
No.
But the thing that, like, kind of trips me up is that I don't actually know their values, because we've never talked about it. I don't know that if I needed to talk to my mom about something just because for some emotional support or advice, I don't know if I could talk to her about me being sexually active, because I'm not sure what her values are on, like, what age is it okay to be sexually active.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've just never had that conversation. Shauna, you haven't spoken for a while. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I mean, you guys were just saying so many great things. I was enjoying the conversation, but I definitely resonate, like, I think, you know, we've said is exactly right, is that every person has their own boundaries with intimacy and, like, talking about sex, and that's okay. But I think the problem is when you just, like, so actively discourage it and shame people for wanting to have those conversations without, like, even giving them, like, alternate, more, like, you know, actually correct sources to learn from, like, that's when the issue happens, right? Because, like, if I don't want to talk to my parents about my intimate life even after I'm married, I, like, always joke, I'm like, I don't even want my parents to know, like, even after I have a kid, I'm like, I don't even want them to know I had sex, like, I want them to just think it was, like, God gave it to me, like, immaculate conception, like,
down, like,
yeah, like, second coming of the Virgin Mary, like, I don't even, seriously. I was like, no one needs to know, I was like, I don't want to talk about it with them, because it's just, they're just so awkward in general about it. But I feel like, you know, what I would have loved to see growing up for, like, me and, like, other girls is the fact that, like, we had these open conversations and we had, like, other people around us. Like, so for me, it was, like, my older girl cousins were, like, a lot more helpful and, like, talking about it and understanding that we needed to know about consent. Mm-hmm. And then, like, my friends became, like, a huge resource to me. And also as I studied, like, global health, like, sexual reproductive health is, like, a huge thing, right? But I feel like the thing is, like, I wish that, you know, our parents don't have to be, like, actively involved in, like, the learning if they don't really want to be,
right,
or we don't want them to be. But I think, like, as a culture, we should really have, like, the opportunity and chance to discuss it in safe spaces when we want to.
Mm-hmm.
And also by being able to discuss it, like, you bring more opportunity for people to emotionally, it's just support you socially, right? With things go well, and also when things, if things go wrong, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I also wanted to kind of, like, transition the conversation to this other point I wanted to talk about. So we've talked a lot about, like, our family lives and stuff, but I feel like another way race and culture, like, affects sex and sexuality is, like, fetishization and just, like, over-sexualization of people just, like, based on their race and culture.
Right.
Like, I feel a lot of times when I was growing up and learning about my identity, my sexuality, and, like, the way I viewed sex, like, through the media, like, whenever I was talking about, like, sex and sexuality, and it was, like, you know, from a view of, like, when it was, like, talking about, like, a brown woman or a black woman's sex and sexuality, like, their race was always, like, a main focus of it,
yeah,
I feel like, you know?
Most definitely.
But, and I feel like even, like, on TikTok and stuff, when, like, guys are talking about, like, women they find attractive, it'll, like, the type, like, yeah, it's completely okay to have a type, but I feel like just in general, you know, no one will, like, sexualize white women the way they do, like, women of color.
Yeah.
And, like, kind of, like, and just, like, I feel like growing up, just, like, as an Indian woman, I feel like I had a really hard time, like, being sexually empowered,
because
I feel like there's always been, like, negative views of, like, Indian women and their, like, for the lack of a better term, beauty, or, like, their sexiness in the media. Like, I remember there was this whole time on TikTok where people would just post stuff about, like, oh, Indian women have, like, mustaches, or, like, jokes about, like, damn, I wish I could grow in a mustache as well as an Indian woman can, yeah. and just, like, stuff like that, mm-hmm. you know? And I feel like there's definitely, like, they sexualize us, but they also, like, demean us in this mm-hmm. way and take away yeah. our control of our own sexuality. Uh-huh. Like, oh, we can sexualize you, but, oh, you're not sexy.
No,
yeah. You're, like, ugly. And yeah. so I feel like I just wanted to talk about that for a minute and what thoughts you guys have.
Yeah, I definitely, like, went through, like, when I talked about, like, porn and just, like, not, like, the representation of it, but it's also, like, when there is representation of it, it's, like, a fetish, you know, like, the title will be, like,
oh, yeah,
like, they'll have to, like, emphasize on the race and everything, and I'm, like, really, like, you didn't have to say that, and, like, another thing, like, you mentioning hair and everything like that, like, my freshman year, like, there would just be, like, rumors about, like, my body hair and everything like that, but it's, like, how are you gonna try to sexualize me, but also, like, you know, like, put a bad name on me, or, like, stuff that, like, I can't control, you know? It's, like, I'm sorry that I'm a mix. I'm literally, like, I'm Hispanic and Pakistani. It's, like, the two hairiest of, like, the freaking breeds of, like, brown people, you know? It's, like, I'm sorry that I'm so, like, hairy. Like, I can't help it. But it's, like, I've gone to grow, and just, like, also just seeing other people, like, you know, growing out their armpit hair, or, like, their leg hair, and, like, I had to learn the hard way that it's, like, this is my own body, and I have to take care of my own body. Like, I can't continue to keep doing stuff for, like, the male gaze. Like, yeah, I'll somewhat, you know, do it, but it's, like, for myself, too. But
yeah.
But it's, like, yeah, just, like, the fetishization of everything. And also, like, I was reading this article that was on Instagram, and it was, like, the over, like, sexualization of, like, Hispanic women, and, like, one was, like, Sofia Vergara, and, like, the, oh my god, they're, like, on the curb, and, like, Modern Family, how, like, her breasts are always out, and, like, just, like, the one token Hispanic girl in, like, the friend group, or, like, whatever, like, her boobs are out, like, she has an accent, like, she loves lip gloss, like, her stomach, you know, just, like, that, and it's, like, I don't look like that, so I would be, like, is that all I have, you know, is that all, like, we are viewed as like Hispanic women. So it's just, it's really hard, especially like when you're mixed. And I'm not saying that like it's any easier if like you're, you know, half like white, or just like, you know, a quarter of just whatever, but it's really hard to try to like fit in with both, you know, like ethnicities.
I definitely agree, and I feel like a lot of like Indian women get the other side of that. And obviously I'm not saying this to be like, oh, like Hispanic women like don't have it as hard as that, but I'm just saying yeah. that there's like a duality to mm-hmm. it also. Like I feel like Hispanic women get overly sexualized, and yeah. I feel like a lot with a lot of like not even Indian, just like Southeast Asian yeah. women, I feel like before like TV shows like Never Have I Ever, like uh-huh. the Indian characters were always like the prudes, yeah. you know, have no control
the
over
smart
their
prudes,
yeah,
yeah.
Really?
Just in the corner, like
yeah,
can
no
you do
one
my
wants
homework?
To touch them. No
yeah.
one wants
no
to
one
be
wants
with
to talk
them.
To
they're
them.
The butt of the joke.
No, yeah, like oh my god, I grew up seeing like Indian characters who were like everyone thought that they were like the nerdy, like ugly. Honestly, yeah. I thought ugly.
The guy in Mean Girls.
No, literally, and you know, like people being like, oh, like she's Indian. Her parents probably like, and you know, I like yeah. Never Have I Ever is not a perfect show.
Yeah,
but I feel like it was definitely the first show where I like saw a young Indian girl taking yeah. control of her own sexuality, mm-hmm. and that was such mm-hmm. a refreshing narrative. So yeah,
yeah.
No, definitely. I feel like it's so, like, all throughout my younger life, it was, like, so strange because, like, India has its own, like, beauty standards and America has a completely mm-hmm. different mm-hmm. set of them. But in both ways, like, even in Indian culture, it's, like, you can, there's, like, 0.00001% of women that fit that standard of beauty.
Right.
It's, like, so impossible to attain for, like, the majority of us.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, in America, you're, like, you guys said, like, it's always, like, you're just, like, smart, like, annoying nerd in the corner that no one talks to that's, like, class president or something. Mm-hmm. And, like, they have glasses and they have, like, frizzy hair and they're, like, dressed really badly. Like, they can't be well-dressed. And you're just, like, this, like, why is this the representation? The only representation we get is just, like, right. the really, like, homely nerd, like, that isn't interested in the opposite gender or any gender. Like, it's so crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yo, Sam, what are your thoughts?
I think the way that women, and especially women of color, but, like, women in general, like, I feel like there was a time where I saw myself as, like, a person first, and then And then there's a time that I started to see myself as a woman instead.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, as in as...
That's very profound.
Thank you. As in, those two are, like, mutually exclusive. Like, I feel like when I was a kid and I, like, in my parents' eyes, I was the same. Like, I have to give my parents their flowers, as in, like, I wasn't, like, with a lot of immigrant parents, like, it was, like, the brothers can go chill, you're gonna go clean, they can go do... My parents weren't really like that, and I feel like school was, like, kind of, like, an even playing field for all of us, that I was on, like, the same level as them. And so, I feel like growing up, like, before, like, when I wasn't really... When you're not really aware of how the world's gonna view you when you're a kid, like, I got to be just, like, the same, like, person as everybody else, like, have interests, like, have this, have that. But I feel like as I, like, hitting, like, after puberty, like, high school, especially now in college, and this is something I, like, struggle with every day, I feel like I'm always a woman first. Like, it's always, like, why, what's the point of going out if you don't look good, if you don't have your makeup done? What's the point of doing that? Why are you going to classes if you look like that? Why are you doing this if you're not like that? Like, why are you rich and successful if you're not married? Like, there's always, like, there's your identity as a woman, and then you come as a person. And I feel like also when I interact with people, I feel like there's a lot of times where I'm seen as a woman before I'm seen as a person.
Right.
And that's just compounded on the, like, I always have felt like, since I was little, that being black has come before being a person, too. Like, and I think that's always been the first thing people see about me. And so, like, with those two, like, on top of each other, like, I feel, especially, like, high school age, like, I always felt like, that was my thing. Like, I was a black girl, like, whether that was, like, in terms of, like, socially or in terms of, like, sexually, it was, like, they're into black girls. Like, they're into this. They like this. They have, like, this type of relationship with black womanhood. And it wasn't ever... There wasn't really any room to make sexuality or sex, like, an intimate idea because it was always kind of, like a societal thing. Like this person... Or these people are into black women, and you are a black woman, so you're in that group. It was never, like, I never saw sex as, like, or it's, like, that type of, like, sexuality as in, like, a, that's, like, something personally to, like, a personal choice to engage in, and something intimate, something like that. It's always was kind of more of a form of, like, categorization.
Mind. Like, yeah, having to fit yourself into a category to, like, feel a certain
way.
Yeah, I guess, you know, if we are all okay with it, we can, like, move towards, like, wrapping up. We have, like, a good amount of content recorded. But just, like, any last thoughts anyone has, just, like, on even the broader topic of race and culture as it relates to sex and sexuality? This is, like, you know.
I guess overall, growing up in a family where, like, having to grow up and, like, keep the ideals of, like, your immigrant family, like, the religion, the relationship, but also growing up in modern day is, like, really hard. Like, I talked to my therapist about it, and it's, like, also, just, like, this is gonna go, like, I don't even know where this is gonna go, but, like, just being a brown woman, it's also really hard to talk about mental health to, like, a white person. Like, I had to have, like, a brown or, like, someone who looks like me or, like, could be like me to understand my issues and problems.
Yeah,
so definitely. I feel like that is also not talked about enough, about how there's also not enough representation of, like, counselors or, like, psychiatrists. And just in general, there's a lot of lack of representation everywhere of just brown, black people of color, especially, like, women. But yeah, I guess just, like, trying to figure out your sexuality when, like, I'm a completely different person around my family and, like, with my friends. I feel like I'm more myself when I'm with my friends, and then I have to, like, be this person my family wants me to be, you know? So it's definitely a lot to think about, but just in general, it's like, you're so much more than, like, what your family is, you know? Like, you have your own ideals, and just, it's gonna be a struggle, but, you know, just growing up is a struggle in general, but
I feel like that's, like, so important, though. I think that what you said, like, hit the nail on the head, is, like, every person has, like, a bunch of different identities that, like, intersect and then make their own situation complicated, right? Like, it brings different barriers, it brings different cultural values, religious values, like, you know, just resources and lack thereof, right? Like, there's so many there, but it's so key to see, like, women, especially young women, that, like, that have the identities that we have and have, like, even more intersecting identities to, like, show other people in our community, like, and especially other young women, right? That, like, we, you can have these conversations. Like, there are people out there that are also curious or have also experienced these kinds of things and, like, also feel like they have to live this double life, right? That they can't truly be themselves, their full selves all the time. So I feel like something like this podcast, which is great, and, like, other podcasts and other things that have, like, platforms that you guys are, like, leading and, like, talking on, they're so important and critical to just, like, you know, reducing the stigma and also, like, actually offering, like, valuable advice and knowledge so that, like, young girls don't have to go continue to go through this, like, you know, grappling in the dark for information and trying to figure it out.
Well,
Yosun, any last thoughts?
My last thoughts is that being pro, I think it's important to say that being pro, like, sexual education, pro sexual liberation, doesn't mean necessarily you're pro sex. Like, you, it means, like, you can, like, you can be abstaining, you can be waiting for marriage, you can be, like, or you could not just, you think people should not have casual sex, but I think the most important part is that you're trying to remove the stigmas, the shame surrounding sexuality to benefit everybody better. And I think it's important to learn with, in a conversation of people of color, that the treatment of women is kind of, is always, like, there's, like, a story to make it seem like it's a problem that communities of color have, like, people of, like, like, here in America, we're fine, but in Africa, they don't know how to treat their women. In South Asia, they don't know how to treat their women. Like, that's a problem over there. But these problems over there are because of ideas over here. And I think... and I think that just, like, not letting, like, that story, like, run rampant and realizing that, like, it's, everything is connected. And when you're, when you're saying something about the girl you don't like and you're saying, wow, she's ran through, that's gonna that all connects to a little girl, like, getting hurt somewhere else, because everything is connected. Like, what you're doing to one woman's gonna hurt another, what you put out to the world is gonna hurt somebody else. So I think just realizing that everything is connected, and you, and just approaching every conversation surrounding sex and sexuality with empathy, with love, with, like, learning, listening to understand and learning, I think will be good.
Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah, so we're just going to wrap up now. Again, I'm sure that these topics will come up again in future episodes. We're going to do an episode on porn culture. So we'll probably, like, you know, examine fetishization of, like, women of color more in that, and we'll have other topics come up, but yeah, that's all for today. We're gonna do our closing, as always, just sharing some media that we've been consuming. I can go first. I recorded an episode yesterday, so I already shared that I watched the new Spider-Man movie. I'm excited for the new Hawkeye episode that's coming out tonight. Again, big Marvel girl, love Marvel. And then Emily in Paris's second season is coming out, and I know it's a controversial show. I agree, it does not represent French culture rightly. I agree it's unrealistic. How is this girl 22 and doing all of this? I agree that Emily knows nothing about fashion, but I want to study abroad in Paris, so I really love the vibes of the show, because like, that's what I want to do.
And the love interest.
Oh yeah. But anyways, so I, it's my guilty pleasure. So I'm super, I am excited for that. And yeah, that's some media that, and I've just been, like, reading a couple of books, murder mystery novels. And so that's my media. Noor, what about you?
Oh, sorry. Sorry, these cars are just scaring me. Okay, so yeah, everyone is so tired of the Spider-Man movie, but I'm gonna say that I'm gonna watch it tomorrow. And honestly, not tired of it. Like, my entire feed is just, like, all the Spider-Mans, which I'm not complaining because who else just loves Andrew Garfield?
Oh, yes!
Tobey Maguire, just all of them. Anyways, but yeah, that's mostly it with that. I forgot about Emily in Paris. I usually rewatch shows because just the idea of having to start a new show and then not knowing the ending terrifies me. But yeah, just new Spider-Man movie, hashtag getting my booster in 2 days. Yeah, just living life, and let's just so much more to come.
That's I'm so great. Shauna, what about you? What did I just say? I'm so great. I meant to say that's so great. I'm also great, but that's not the point here. Shauna, what about you? What's the media you've consumed?
Okay, yeah, well, I'm echoing. I did watch the Spider-Man movie, but to be fair, I also had never, I've never watched the other two Tom Holland Spider-Mans, so.
No, you don't have
to. Okay, it really was, my friends went to go watch, like, planned to go watch it, and they were sitting all week with me, and it was like, three guys and they were like gonna go watch it. I was like, you're not gonna invite me? And they're like, you wanna watch it? I was like, yeah. I was like, if you're all going,
let's
don't
hope
you're
confused.
I feel like I was like talking to my friend. I got most of it, but definitely I think I would recommend you like at least watching the other Spider-Mans if you're gonna like watch it. So that was an experience, but it was still fun. It was still a good movie. I watched Bridgerton like six months after everyone else did. Finally. Or like a year after everyone else did.
Yeah.
Like a month ago, I just binged it. And I had like, I guess I was like okay with it. I feel like it was good, but I feel like people definitely overhyped it. So maybe my expectations are too high. And I guess like books wise, I'm not reading anything currently, but I am very excited to read, I believe it's called All About Love by Bell Hooks, who recently passed.
Yes.
I really want to read her book. And so that's on my to-read list, and I'm very excited to dive into that now that I have some time off.
Yes.
Okay. What about you, Yosa?
I mean, I did watch the Spider-Man movie a couple times, but nothing really on my watch list right now. I'm trying to find, like, a new sitcom, kind of like, How I Met Your Mother.
Watch New Girl.
New Girl, How I Met Your Mother, even the opposite.
I was just about to say that. Oh my god, New Girl.
I love all those shows, so I'm trying to find something like in the similar realm. But yeah, I mean, right now I'm not watching or reading anything. I'm just sleeping, just resting.
Fair. Just
taking my time.
Rebooting.
Off. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You gotta do it. Mm-hmm. After a semester, it takes you out.
Exactly. Yeah. That shit knocked the wind out of me.
Yeah. Well, that was all for this episode. Thank you, all three of you, for being guests.
Thank you.
Had so much
fun
talking.
Thanks for hosting us.
Yes. And thank you to all of our listeners if you got this far into the episode. And that was, as always, remember to stay dirty. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.